With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, away we go on this Friday, beautiful spring day. It's Carmen and Yurko. Don't forget, taxes are due Monday. I hate to be a Debbie Downer like that right out of the gate, but just a friendly reminder.
Yeah, the bearer of bad news.
Taxes are due on Monday.
Sons of bitches.
Sorry, Yurko.
Why? There's true emotion there. You're very upset.
We've got Masters weekend upon us. It's an interesting leaderboard right now. First of all, I told Mike this earlier, Mike North, we were taping Odds Couple. A new Odds Couple is up on the ESPN Chicago app. We tape it every Friday morning. So just get to the app. You get the Encore replay tomorrow afternoon if you want, but why wait? Don't wait. Just go to the app and at some point listen.
It's there.
I told Mike this. I was looking at the leaderboard. At one point earlier this morning, as they were getting underway in round two, Yurko, and things were a little delayed because of the delay yesterday.
Yes.
You'll like this, Yurko. In the top 15 this morning at one point, you had players from, ready?
I'm listening.
The U.S., Denmark, England, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, South Korea, Chile, France, and South Africa.
Well represented.
Well represented. Boy, golf's a global game, isn't it, Yurko?
Absolutely,
well,
it is.
Well represented at the Masters. It's an interesting leaderboard because Bryson DeChambeau has never really played all that well at Augusta. He shot a 65 to open yesterday. He's even through three holes today. His best ever finish at Augusta, Yurko, was a tie for 21st back in 2016. He's missed the cut at the last two. And then the guy in second is a good golfer, but he's more known for just sort of floundering in the majors, and that's Max Homa. Max Homa's played in 17 majors. He has exactly one top 10 finish, and that was a 10th. One top 10 in 17 majors. And so it's an interesting leaderboard, but we're not even halfway home. So there's a long way to go, and the pressure's going to get turned up.
I mean, it goes up and down. Right now the cut is at plus +3. You've got 58 players at plus +3.
So Tiger's okay for right now, depending on how his second round goes.
Yeah, he's currently on the course. I'm going to try to find Tiger's. He is.
Tiger's got to play 23 holes today, Yurko, because he had a finish this morning.
Tiger just birdied 8.
Oh, nice.
So he's at plus +1 going into a very difficult 9th hole.
Yes. 9, 10, 11, they're all 9 and then 11, 12, 13. That's the tough stretch, isn't it? Those holes are tough. I think 10's tough too, right?
I think 10 and 11, most guys hit 3 wood off the tee on 10 now.
Yeah.
And they just turn the ball a little right to left and it goes down.
Yep.
And you get your lie and then, they got just a 8 iron, sometimes 7 iron into the green. The 11 is the 500 and some yard par 4 with the water left.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And everything kicks over. If you try to hit a low liner, like if you're in the trees, you got a problem. Most guys bail right on there, and then you got to get up and down for par.
All right.
If you birdie 11, you've done something special.
Yeah, you've done something right with a birdie to start in Amen Corner. So we'll keep you abreast of the situation at Augusta National.
You know we will, Carm.
We love the Masters. It's a beautiful day down there today. It's windy, glorious, though. They're saying wind gusts this afternoon, 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Carm, how about this? Here's a golf expression for you that I know you love. The flags are stiff. Do you know that? The flags are stiff.
And that usually means it's pretty windy.
It's pretty darn windy, yeah.
Pretty windy.
And there's different parts of that golf course that blow and other parts that don't blow.
You mean literally?
Yeah, I mean, when you get down in a little bit of a valley and you're in the trees, sometimes you get away from the wind.
Yeah.
There's other parts a little higher on the course
that get down to this course
are more susceptible to the wind.
I got to get down there. I love that you can talk about it.
The first thing you'll see when you get there is elevation changes.
I know.
That you can't appreciate on TV.
That's what everybody says.
TV doesn't do it for you. You got to be there.
Yeah, Carmen and Yurko experience.
I was there 24 years ago.
Take Black and Abdallah and they love golf.
You know who won that year?
All right, let me guess. 2000. The 2000 champion at Augusta was, well, Tiger won in 97, O'Meara won in 98, It was either Mike Weir or Tiger Woods. I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
Or Vijay Singh.
Damn it.
Yeah, it was one of those three. You just had to put Vijay in there.
Vijay Singh. That's what I meant. I said Vijay Singh, didn't I? Vijay won it.
Yes.
I really want to go, man. One of these days, I'm going to make it happen. It's on the bucket list, Yerk.
And the guy that got off to a hot start that day was Darren Clark.
Oh, wow. Blast from
Darren the past. Clark just was blowing up the golf course, just kicking its ass. And then it barked back.
That's what the course does.
And then it barked back on him, and he was hasta la bye-bye after
That's what it normally does. Yeah. So, yeah, Masters weekend. I know a lot of people like to just
Brian Harman shot a 47 in the back
He
nine.
Got crushed. Yeah. You're playing golf this weekend, you said.
Yes, I am.
Chris and Adam, golf this weekend, 75. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'll be playing on Sunday.
Oh, you guys.
Saturday and Sunday.
I'm not. I got other obligations this weekend.
Yeah, I know you've got other obligations this weekend.
You got a child?
What? No, other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You've got children.
Oh, yeah, you have a... Yeah, you want to say something about that? No.
I mean, my grandfather passed away.
We should say
condolences to Adam Adala. His grandfather passed.
I'm going to Michigan for the memorial.
How old?
He was 91.
That's
long life.
It's a good life.
He taught me how to golf. So
maybe in like his honor, you should stop off at a golf course somewhere. Be like, Whitney, listen, I'm just going to play nine holes real quick.
I'm just going to play a quick nine. Yeah, take care of Layla.
Don't worry about
I'm going to play a quick nine.
Put a little aviator or a Titleist in there, you know, a little golf ball for him.
You should.
Thank you.
Cremated.
So put the golf ball next to him.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be. Are you going to spread his ashes on a golf course?
No, we're not.
You going to keep him?
Yeah, I think we're going to spread them around, like the family and stuff.
Who here wants to be cremated? I don't mean to be more abundant here, but like I think I might want to be too.
I think I want to be cremated.
The idea of like little critters crawling all over your, you know, rotting corpse in a grave somewhere.
You're not going
like,
to feel it.
Either way, I know you're not going to feel it.
I got my dad in one of the condominiums.
Oh, like in the mausoleum?
Yeah,
you mean?
He's in a condominium.
Boy,
first floor.
That might even be scarier.
I don't know why.
You're in a wall? I don't know.
Yeah, in a wall.
Does it matter? Do we know if it matters? We don't know if it matters.
Adam, I know. I don't know. I'd like it to matter, but I don't know. Who's here for cremation? Yurko, cremation?
Probably. If I
Adam?
I don't care.
You don't care? Well, you're going to have to you're going to have to tell somebody what your last wishes are.
Otherwise, you're going in the pine box.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you do it based off of, because, like, it's a religious thing, you know,
for some people.
So, like, if you go based off of, like, Islamic religion, you got to be, that dude's got to be in the ground in, like, 24 hours. Like, there's no cremation.
Is that right?
You get buried. Now, this is my mom's side of the family.
Right. This is your mom's side. Yeah. So your grandpa got cremated, not your dad's side.
Jewish
religion is like that too, right? Isn't there? There's a window. That's like you got to be in the ground like
too.
In 48 hours.
Yeah.
That's why it happens quick and then the shiva's after.
And like based off of all the conversations I've had over the last couple of days, ours is a lot cleaner and easier.
But just to be like, seems
here
like
are
it.
The rules. Yeah. Follow them. And if you can't get there in time... Sorry, man.
It's a lot easier. Black, cremation?
Cremation, $1, Bob.
What? I like the idea of Yurko.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
I kind of like the, like, Yurko had the idea once, like, you should do like the Vikings did it. Like, maybe light me on fire and push me out in the lake or something, you know, on a raft.
That's what happens when you age out of the demo here.
Yeah. That's what happens?
When you turn a certain age here at the station... We push you out into Lake Michigan and light the
We're getting
close.
We're getting eerily or like too close for comfort for that.
Cap is getting
rough. Oh, yeah. Just light him up, push him down the push him down the river, you know?
Goodbye, David Kaplan.
There you go.
Everybody throws his sport coats.
We
at
didn't
him.
Know you at all. You had the strength to hold yourself.
What would we put on the raft with Cap? I'm trying to think. Oh, my God.
All of his sport coats.
All of his silly
a copy
sport
of his
coats,
book.
The book.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my. I don't even know.
His blue Corvette.
The blue Corvette. That thing has been gone
a long
Corvette,
time. Blue Corvette. We'll put that out there.
He wrecked that in Bourbon A. He's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't get another blue Corvette. I'm like, no, it's probably a good idea, Cap. Nobody needs a blue Corvette. Right? I mean, come on. Yeah. No, nobody needs a metallic blue
Corvette.
Corvette should be, come on, red. Black. That's it. Maybe white. I don't even know about white.
Black.
Red and black. That's it. If you're getting a Corvette, if you're driving around in a fine-ass automobile like a Corvette, it should be red or black. I feel like you don't see too many gray Corvettes. Like,
I was just going to say, I'm a fan of like a dark gray. Not like a light gray.
I feel like
dark gray.
Like, I love the dark gray Ferraris. Love it. Like, that's badass. Almost like that metallic gray kind of, Eric. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a pewter color,
like Ferrari. That looks awesome. I feel like you don't see that color much in Corvettes. But I don't think they should be yellow or blue or purple or pink. They should be red, maybe white, but they should be red. They should be black. I don't know.
What's going to be your crisis purchase?
Good question. Probably some kind of a car that is unnecessary. I mean, right now, I love my Land Rover Defender 130. I tell you guys that all the time. It's like it's exactly what I need. Like, someday when the kids are older and I don't need the Land Rover, like, do I go with the sporty Jaguar or something? I don't know. I've always kind of had an affinity for Corvettes, too. Yurko had a Corvette
once. Yeah.
And I got to drive it once. It was a sweet ride. I mean, dream scenario is a Ferrari. I don't anticipate ever being able to own a Ferrari. I'm going to be quite honest with
you. Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Not with that attitude.
Because they're $300,000
cars.
I mean,
you got a bad attitude.
Well, I don't anticipate it. Maybe if I like go into the bourbon business somehow, I don't know.
You don't know. You never know. You start up a distillery together, investment group or something.
I think I'll have the discretionary income for a Ferrari, but that would be like the dream. If you're saying, Carmen, reach for the stars, reach for the Ferrari would be the dream. I love Ferrari.
If anybody deserved one, you do.
Thank you. I love Corvettes. I've always loved them. That would probably be it, Adam.
Old school Corvettes or what's what? 73 Stingray?
I don't know, man. I don't know enough about cars to like go the old school route and like fix it up. Like Gian Greco could do that. Danny in Schaumburg has an old, you know, he's got his dad's old vet,
sure,
if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But he's like helped restore.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't think I have the patience for that either. I want a new one that's ready for me to drive off the lot that's going to go 130. Like, that's all that I want.
You could probably get one now. You would just have to like sleep in it. Like, you wouldn't have to.
Yeah, like, I'm not getting a Corvette.
You wouldn't be able to have anything else.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm not getting a Corvette. My kids are way too young, and I have too many other expenses and too many other things to think about.
My Corvette in 2000 cost me $47,000.
What?
47 grand.
What year was your Corvette?
2000.
So you bought it new. So you bought a 2000. That car was sweet, man. Yurko let me drive it once, and it was sweet.
It had some pop in it, man.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
Did Brandy sell that car? Does she still have it?
Brandy, that was part of the, you know, what's that called? The realignment? Oh, that was part of the realignment.
The car got realigned?
She did keep that car. She eventually sold it.
She ended up selling it. So somebody's driving around in Yurko's old Corvette.
Yeah.
Kind of like somebody, like George driving around in John Voight's LeBaron. Somebody is driving Yurko's old vet.
It only had 7,500 miles on it when I said goodbye to it.
Awesome. That thing was awesome.
In 2016,
watching Yurko get in and out of it.
Twice a year?
Watching Yurko get in and out of it was awesome.
I drove it a lot. I drove it to St. Louis a couple times.
You drove it to Bourbonnais once. Yurko came rolling up to Bourbonnais to Bears training camp practice in the Corvette. Pulled into the parking lot, and watching him get out is fun because he's a bigger fellow. He's trying to get out of that Corvette.
I had to get out in pieces.
It was fantastic.
Well, no, but that thing had some nice juice. Oh. That thing was nice.
Great cars.
Yeah.
Great cars. All right, coming up next.
I bought it in Illinois. I literally bought it off like the owner who put it in like his personal arsenal, but when he could sell it, he sold it.
Is that right?
Yeah. It had like 32 miles on it.
32 miles on it.
Yeah.
Okay, there's your fun trip down memory lane. Coming up, you can certainly call like and talk about the... how did Adam phrase it? What did he say? He goes, what kind of purchase did you call it, Adam? Oh, he's on the phone. He's screening a call. I can't remember what he said. Adam, what'd you call it? What kind of purchase? Not like a midlife crisis.
I just called it a crisis.
A crisis. Yeah, he goes, what's your crisis purchase? Yeah. You could tell us what it is if you want to ring us up at 312-332-3776. When we come back next year, I want to read to you from The Athletic a story about evaluating the top NFL draft quarterbacks with one advanced stat to love and one to not love so much, okay? We'll do that coming up next. You can ring us up at 312-332-ESPN. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. No. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you the whiskey fact of the day, and we'll get a couple final qualifiers for a Wee Whiskey Fest ticket package for next week, and then we have to give away the Highlander. We got a couple of them to give away, so we'll pull a couple of random names after we get our last two qualifiers, 10 in total. And then there will be two winners crowned at the end of the show before Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie a little bit later on. They'll roll you into White Sox and Reds tonight at 6 on the south side. Connor's pregame starts at 6. First pitch is at 6:40 later tonight. So stick around for the whiskey fact of the day coming up. We're keeping an eye on the Masters, obviously, today. We're also talking NFL, of course, because we love to do that every day. We love the National Football League, and we are now inside of 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. Good exercise here by the folks over at The Athletic, Eric. They did evaluating the top NFL draft quarterback prospects with one advanced stat to love and one that will scare teams. So you want me to read you Caleb's, because we know what's happening.
Sure, absolutely.
We're going to be calling Caleb Williams' name.
That's right. 13 days from now.
13 days from now, Yurko. Here's the advanced stat to like, okay? Plenty to like, but for me, it's his entire sophomore season. Maybe that's cheating. I don't care. Williams won the Heisman Trophy during his sophomore campaign and was predictably excellent across the analytic board. He produced a better EPA per dropback than C.J. Stroud. He was better by the same metric outside of the pocket than Bryce Young, and he had better efficiency on design rushes than Anthony Richardson. If he were eligible to enter after his sophomore season, Williams would have very likely been QB1 a year ago. Was this past year a regression or him trying to make up for USC's lack of defense? Only time will tell, but I'm willing to bet the traits from his sophomore campaign are still there.
So I like that.
I like that, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Now you want to hear the one that scares
well,
you?
Well, he's achieved. I know this. He's achieved, so they give him credit for the fact that he's been able to achieve. He's
yes.
done it.
And in the advanced analytics, and you, the EPA is a great
yeah.
metric for determining the value of players, for quarterbacks, their contributions to offense.
Okay, give me the bad stuff.
All right, you want the bad one? And I bet you could kind of predict where this is going to go if you just had to think about it for a second. The advanced stat that The Athletic doesn't like, I don't think anybody likes it, nor should they. Williams' pressure to sack rate is concerning. This metric has caught a lot of steam in the past few years, and it's been found to be stable from college to the NFL regardless of competition. That's important to note, Yurko.
Yes.
They're finding that it is stable
yep.
as the data sample grows. Pressure to sack rate measures how often a quarterback pressure turns into a sack. The benchmark for a quote-unquote good number seems to be around 17%, but it can vary. Williams had a 24.6% pressure to sack rate his final year at USC and a 20.5% career number. Williams is known for extending plays, so you can live with a slightly higher number, but he will certainly need to lower that number to find success, Yurko, in the NFL. I was doing a little
digging.
Not digging. I was just doing a little, like, I don't even know what you'd call it. I wouldn't even really call it an experiment. Just checking, you know, sack rates and how they correlate maybe to, you know, overall quarterback play and, like, how it would look compared to quarterback rating. This is not the pressure to sack metric that The Athletic is referencing. I'm just giving you pure old-fashioned sack percentage, here, okay,
yes.
for quarterbacks.
Yes, I got you.
I looked at the last 3 years combined, 2021, 2022, 2023.
I got you.
Minimum of 500 pass attempts, okay? Some of these guys on this list obviously had enough pass attempts to qualify, even though they only played one season. I will tell you that. But it's mostly the culmination of players that played multiple seasons across 2001, the last three seasons, 2001, 2002, 2021, 2022, 2023. Who do you think number one in the NFL is in terms of having the best, the lowest sack percentage the last three seasons? He didn't play last year. It was the 2 years before that and everything else he's done in his marvelous career that would lead you to a pretty obvious answer because he knew how to get rid of the ball and he knew how to get rid of it quick.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, numero uno, with, and nobody's even close, Yurko.
Right.
He's below 3%. The next yep. closest guy is a little over 4%. Tom Brady's sack percentage over his final, for him, this is a 3-year data sample, but for Tom, because he didn't play last year, this is a 2-year data sample, 2.94%. Number two on the list, you could probably figure out, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
4.08. I'll give you the top 11 here, real quick. Brady, cool. Mahomes, Allen. Jordan Love, here's a guy who had enough pass attempts to qualify, only played one season.
Right.
Now. Tua, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, and Aaron Rodgers. Did not play last year because of the injury. So for him, it's a smaller data sample, too. Those are your top 11. And I was looking to see like how that might correlate with just flat out. And I don't know that it does. Again, I'm not, you know, this is just something I was doing
on the
fly.
Is there a direct relationship is what you're asking?
So Brady had the lowest sack percentage. His quarterback rating over that exact same data set was 10th best in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, 6th best. Others in the top 11. Let's take Aaron Rodgers, for example. 3rd best quarterback rating over that sample. Dak Prescott, 2nd best. How about Dak? Dak's got the 2nd best quarterback rating. Maybe the stat is a little flawed, because I don't think any of us would say Dak's the 2nd best quarterback, or has been. He's very good. But Dak's got the 2nd best quarterback rating over the last 3 years, Jerk.
Yeah, that team craps the bed in the playoffs.
I think you're right. Tua, 5th. Goff, 9th. Mahomes, 6th. I think I mentioned that. Justin Herbert, 13th. So there's some reasonable correlation. And normally the guys who are getting rid of the football and not taking sacks are going to be better. Their offenses are going to be better. Nothing can, you know, we
you
know it derails a drive.
Negative yardage situations.
Penalties and sacks, Eric. Other than turnovers, obviously.
Right,
I'm talking about like...
What stops drives.
What stops, like, what are the drive killers other than obviously turning the football over? The drive killers are what Jerko just said. Putting yourself behind the sticks with sacks and penalties. That's it. And so the offenses are going to tend to perform better. The players are going to tend to perform better. Now, do you want the opposite end of that spectrum? You want to know who some of the worst players are in terms of sack percentage?
Yes, yes.
Who do you think has the worst or the highest sack percentage over the last 3 seasons in the NFL at 12.35%? I think you know.
Justin Fields.
Yes. Sadly, it's Justin Fields. 12.35%. Second worst. Again, he played only one of these seasons, but he had enough to qualify. I just did 500. I did about roughly like a third of what, you know,
Joe Burrow.
No, Bryce Young. Bryce Young last year, 10.53%.
Well, I know Joe Burrow got crunched a lot, especially like his second year in
the league.
Burrow's
12th on this list. 7.22%. So you're right. So Fields is the worst. Bryce Young is the second worst. Zach Wilson, the third worst.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's bad.
You said it.
Yeah.
We know who the bad quarterbacks are, unfortunately. Right. And I think the jury's out on Bryce Young. I think Justin Fields is twice as good every day of the week. I think Zach Wilson's an abomination.
Terrible.
Quite frankly. That he was the second overall pick because he was impressive at BYU's pro day is laughable. Like, there's something seriously wrong with your system if you're landing on Zach Wilson because of the way he threw in shorts and a tank top at BYU's pro day. Like, there's just something so unbelievably wrong with your system and your process. It's that whole thing's an abomination. Zach Wilson cannot play quarterback in this league. I think Justin's better than him.
Only because he can run.
Even as a passer, I think he's better.
I don't know. God. You know, you've dissected all of Justin Fields' passing because he's been here, and you see him every single week. All you see of Zach Wilson is the lowlights. Nobody ever shows you any highlights, anything he does well. Nobody shows you if he drops back and he hits a guy on a dime. You've seen every Justin Fields throw. So I don't know if you could say that just based upon statistics.
Well, I haven't seen as many. You know, that's true.
When they show the Jets, you know what we see. You don't watch the Jets the way you watch the Bears.
That's fair. Okay. Obviously, we see every snap Bears take. That's true. But, yeah, those are the quarterbacks Sam Howell's next on the list. Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones. It's guys that have struggled, right, Yerk? I mean, that's – and so that there is a pretty strong correlation there, obviously. You can read it at The Athletic, by the way. They've got a breakdown of a bunch of them.
They've broken it down.
All the quarterbacks. They did a whole evaluating the top NFL quarterbacks and, you know, like with those stats. And I guess Aaron Schatz just Black and Abdallah regular, Aaron Schatz, the old Football Outsiders. He's taking his DVOA stuff to a different site, more of like a fantasy site, but – Aaron's data stuff is really good. I like when he goes on with the guys because he just has – it's like it's a lot of nerdy stuff, but he's just got real good analytical breakdown.
Right.
He was doing something, too, where what he was evaluating, like, just based on some of his projections, Adam, like guys that, you know, could – that are projecting well and guys that are going to project as busts.
Yeah, so he – came up with some long, crazy stat name that I'm not going to try to explain. But this is their Q-based 2.0 projections for the 2024 class. And it basically gives a percentage, a likelihood of bust, adequate starter, upper tier, or elite. And Caleb Williams has the lowest bust potential. And he has the highest elite potential.
And this is based off of data that he's running. This isn't like Aaron looking at tape saying it, right? Yeah. He's doing this based off of data.
Yes. It's
that the least bust potential is Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it's total defense adjusted yards above replacement per attempt is, and that zero is replacement level. So it's kind of like a war, like okay, what they're going to do. And so his bust potential is 28.9%, which some people would think is high, but Drake May's bust potential is 49.2%.
Oh, wow.
Jaden Daniels' bust potential is 37.7%. J.J. McCarthy is 45.9%. Bo Nix, 54.1%. And Penix is 68.2% bust potential.
Wow, so that's right. So the Caleb, according to just the data and the numbers he's using, is he got the lowest bust potential.
The
that's good.
The elite percentage is pretty the difference is pretty staggering, too. The elite potential for Caleb is 21%.
Okay.
For Drake May, 9%.
Ooh.
For Jaden Daniels, 14%. For JJ, 10%. For Nix, 7%. And for Penix Jr., 3.5%.
It sounds like the data would back up what a lot of experts think now, that it's Caleb and Jaden Daniels 2, not Drake May 2, right? If I'm hearing all that correctly?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. By the way, the flip side of that exercise we were just talking about, correlating the sack percentage jerk with the quarterback ratings, you know, like you looked at that top group and the guys that avoid sacks tend to have pretty high and good and somewhere around the top 10. And then the bottom of that list, you know, we told you who the guys that got sacked the most, the Justins, the Sam Howells, the Bryce Youngs, the Zach Wilsons. The worst quarterback rating over in that sample, Zach Wilson, Bryce Young, Sam Darnold, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Justin Fields. So there is a pretty good correlation.
Sack rate, but I also want to see hold on to the ball rate.
How do you want me to do that? Like, do you mind me?
I just want it. I want you to take the list of the quarterbacks that release when they release the football.
Okay, so like
1 through 32 or 1 through whatever, and see if there's a correlation.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, just see where they're at in correlation to that other list, because does getting rid of the football quickly, obviously, it would seem there's a direct relationship with that. So the guys on the bottom probably held on to the ball too damn long.
Yes, I think you're exactly right.
That's what I'd want to see. How much does that match up? Is it like within three positions all the way down?
Yeah.
Or is there a guy who's got is terrible at it, the sack rate, who still got rid of the football quickly?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, let's just see if there's anybody like that. We could try to filter that out.
Is there something crazy out there?
312-332-3776 is the phone number. Oh, I want to go to Howard. We got a break, though. Tell Howard to hold on. I don't know. He's mad about one stat. I don't know if it's one we gave or one that the Athletic gave, but I want to hear what Howard has to say. I don't think he's a big Caleb fan either. Sit tight, Howard. Don't go anywhere. And everybody else on hold. We'll get to your calls coming up.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Let's give you the whiskey fact of the day here real quick, all right? This is the last one. You can qualify later in the show. Two final spots to qualify. We'll pull a couple winners. You get a VIP Highlander package, weekend package, for the Wee Whiskey Fest in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, next weekend. I am looking forward to it. If you're going, please stop by the Ridge on Saturday afternoon at the Grand Tasting, because I'm going to be there for a couple hours hanging out, trying some fun stuff. Very much looking forward to it. They have really gone all out, man. Sherman, the crew that put this together up there, I mean, they put together a fun weekend with all kinds of festivities. Lake Geneva, at the Ridge, over on the Williams Bay Fontana side. There's some stuff going on at Pier 290. There's just like a whole bunch of fun stuff all weekend long. Cocktail contests and dinners and tastings and live music. So WeWhiskeyFest.com, that's the website if you want to check it out. And they were, I know they were selling tickets at a very fast clip. I can't promise you that there are still any left, but go check for yourself if you are interested for next weekend. Wee Whiskey Fest. That's WEEWhiskeyFest.com. Here's your fact of the day. All right, Eric,
I'm listening.
Let's give everybody one more fact about our original Consumer Protection Act here in this country. Congress passed the Bottled and Bond Act to protect consumers, that they could trust the whiskey that they were drinking. You know, people were at the time putting
all types of
tobacco spit in it, turpentine. I mean, dangerous things.
Crazy.
People were dying.
Yeah, no good.
And so they lobbied Congress. They had some business reasons and some financial reasons for doing it, too. But that's okay. They did want to make sure that people were getting a good product. And Congress said, yes, we need a Consumer Protection Act. We will call it the Bottled and Bond Act. That was passed, Yurko, in March of 1897. And that's all you have to remember.
1897,
the year of the first Consumer Protection Act, the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. That's all you got to remember. Remember that. You can qualify later. All right?
I've got it.
All right, buddy.
To memory.
You keep us up to date on what's happening at the Masters. If you notice a shift, you let us know with that leaderboard.
There's a shift going on. Plus three right now is the cut line. And it looks like it's 50 top 50 plus ties is what I believe it is.
Yurko, I still get annoyed that they don't put enough of it on television. Like, why are we not watching it right now? Why is it like cuttings? And I mean, like, I don't get it
anymore.
Who's
that, Rex Ryan? I mean, who they interviewing?
It does look like Rex Ryan. I thought the same thing.
What are they interviewing?
It is Rex Ryan, yep.
What the hell's he got to do?
Who wants to talk to him
about the Masters?
Well, he's there.
Honestly, Chris,
who's the quarterback with the beard who was, he traveled around and played for like 15 different NFL
Ryan
teams.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He was just on set. It's NFL people at the Masters.
Why am I watching this? Like, why is
what
golf
they have.
Not on?
That's what they have. There's golf in the background.
Why is he wearing a Lions shirt?
There's a flag in the background. That's golf. There's golf in the background.
Can somebody tell me why he's wearing a Lions shirt?
Free. Same reason Yurko wears his Packer stuff and his Jag stuff.
Played for the Jags in the Packers.
They're enjoying the moment. This is a big deal.
Rex Ryan is
at the Masters, guys. I don't think you understand the gravity of what this means to
everyone.
Are we
the only ones annoyed by it because we're old, but like... Oh, you could see it on the stream. I'd like put it on television right now. Why is it not on TV?
I don't get it.
Rex Ryan's wearing a Masters hat. Does that make it any better for you?
He does have a Masters hat.
I'm totally triggered by this. Like, Yurko and I both looked up. That is Rex Ryan. What is he doing?
Golf. What is she got her feet out or what's going on? I mean, what's
Laura
happening?
Laura Rutledge?
Yeah. I mean, what are they doing? Well, this little piggy went to the market, this little piggy came home?
I don't understand it.
See, there's the course behind them.
That's not even the course.
It's grass.
A practice range or something.
Yeah, trees and grass.
Some facility. They've got azaleas surrounding them. Oh, my.
Can I tell you why Rex Ryan is wearing a Lions shirt?
Why?
His son, Seth. Is their assistant wide receivers coach?
All right,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Nepotism.
Tell him he's got a good wide receiver room. Nepotism. That's okay. He could wear. I don't mind. I actually don't mind that he's wearing a Lions shirt. I figure there had to be some time, but I just don't get like why ESPN's got its Masters coverage and they still, because of Augusta National, you're not allowed to just show golf. At the biggest event of the year.
All right, Carm, this leaderboard update is brought to you by no one. No one is providing this update. Max Homa through 10 is still at -7. Hodgegaard.
Who?
Hodgegaard is minus...
Isn't it Hogard?
-6 through 14, Carm.
-6 through 14.
Yeah, he birdied the 14th hole. That's pretty tough.
He's Danish, Yurko.
Yes, he is. DeChambeau. Is through 5. He's -6 also. Scottie Scheffler yet to get on the course. He also sits at -6. And then you got a three-shot cushion there with Davis, Connors, and Fox at -3. So those are your top 7 right there, Carm.
All right.
And this is your Masters Leaderboard Report brought to you by no one.
Which other ESPN personalities do you guys want to see live from the Masters?
Who's
next?
One?
Kendrick Perkins?
That'd be fun. How about Spears? Is he going to be down there? Marcus Spears?
Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins.
I mean, come on, give us some names.
Woj.
You want Woj live from the Masters?
You know, like, what are we doing?
Who else? Come on. Give us some names.
People want to put golf on. Like, well, I don't
know. I would love it if Jesse just walked through the background.
It would be absolutely
all the guys
brilliant
from ESPN
if
that
he did.
All the guys from ESPN that I used to know have all been fired.
What about...
Do you think Rex is happy to do this, or do you think he's like, you're making me work?
No, I bet he's happy.
Let's get Schefter.
You wish that Mike Golic Jr. is there? I mean...
I want Schefter there.
Golic? Who's let go? I want
Schefter.
I actually like Golic Jr. Yeah, Schefter would be
How
funny, wouldn't it?
Barry Melrose.
Barry Melrose is
I'd
a
like
good
to
one.
Have Barry Melrose there.
What about...
They still talk about
what
hockey.
What about Shelly? Shelly okay. does, you know, the hockey stuff. Shelly can, you know...
For ESPN?
Yeah, Chelly's on the ESPN stuff. Or is he only on the TNT? No, I think Chelly's on the ESPN coverage, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think he is. I hope
Chris
I have
Berman?
That right. Chris Berman. I don't know. How about just show golf?
What do you mean? You don't like looking at Rex Ryan's upper thigh?
A bit of a cut fade.
Look at that. That's a crotch shot if I ever saw one.
It's a crotch shot with a loose-fitting golf shirt.
Right. I mean, he needs to go with the right leg over the left. I mean, if you're going to sit there like a gentleman.
He's almost going to get... Did you guys hear the story that Shay gave the show this morning about the eclipse?
No. Oh, God.
You guys can't search it on the computers, but search on your phones.
All right.
Are you unaware of...
Wait, of Rex Ryan?
No.
Oh, the eclipse? Just the eclipse? I'm like, what did he do this time?
There's a video out there.
I saw it.
A television station.
I saw it.
In Mexico?
Aired a
home video of the eclipse.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sylvie sent that to us on Monday. We were joking about it during Crosstalk, and we got fooled by it. And then, I'm aware of that, yeah.
So, I mean, what Yurko's pointing out with the thigh in the shorts that Rex Ryan is wearing,
close.
We're getting close to something appearing.
You're getting
mouse
close.
In the house.
Mouse in the house.
Mouse in the house.
I just don't understand why they can't play golf.
The mouse is loose.
I mean, show golf. I don't know.
Two-stroke penalty.
They don't call him Long Ball Larry for nothing.
You got long balls, Larry. Long Ball Larry. Eddie's on the north side. What's up, Edward?
Hey, guys. So we're not going to go through this thing again, right?
What's that? Oh, God.
No UFC quarterback has ever started a Super Bowl in the history of the NFL.
Hang up on him.
What kind of a silly?
We're done.
Eddie, I mean, come
That's
on.
It. Suspended. I'm pulling a Shay.
Fight
Suspended.
On. That's nonsense.
Suspended. We're not doing this. Until he brings me the cradle of quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls from this one school.
Come on, man.
Lose the number.
Eddie, before Ben Roethlisberger, did a Miami of Ohio quarterback ever start a Super Bowl?
No.
Before Patrick Mahomes, did a Texas Tech quarterback ever start a Super Bowl?
No.
Come on, Eddie. Maybe a Cal quarterback. Any Cal quarterbacks before Aaron Rodgers, York? Any good quarterbacks from Cal? Probably not.
No. How about the Northwest Louisiana when Terry Bradshaw? I mean, is that Northwest Louisiana or Louisiana Tech?
Louisiana Tech, I believe.
Okay.
Right? Southern Miss for Brett Favre, right?
Yeah, Southern Miss.
Did any Southern Miss quarterback ever start it? Come on, Eddie. Come on, man.
What are we doing, Eddie?
You can't, like, be serious.
He is. He's dead serious.
You can't possibly
be serious.
He just
came at you with that. How do you like that? Where'd Bart Starr go to school?
Where'd Bart go? Why can I not think of it? I'm going to be ashamed. Hold on. Wait.
And then
Roger
they just
back as a Navy man.
Come right. on, guys.
Bart
Come
Starr
on,
went
guys.
To Alabama, right? Tide. Yeah, Bart Starr went to Alabama.
Alabama.
There you go. There's your cradle of your college quarterback.
And then Kenny Stabler went to Alabama.
Kenny Stabler did go to Alabama. I mean, is Eddie saying that because USC's had good quarterbacks and it's not a small school?
But they've never started a Super Bowl. What are we doing?
That's silly. Come on.
Fight on.
But, okay, so hold on. What... Have the schools that are so Michigan, obviously.
Well, how many?
With JJ. Well, I'm trying to go through this.
Oh yeah, well, like Brady, obviously. But I mean, like before Brady, how many Michigan quarterbacks started a Super Bowl? I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to think about it for a minute. But
Greasy was Purdue.
Bob Greasy was Purdue. The son went to Michigan. How many Michigan quarterbacks before Tom Brady? I don't know.
How many LSU quarterbacks have started a Super Bowl?
How many North Carolina quarterbacks have started a Super Bowl? None.
He said started.
Oh, started.
So Burrow's
well, that
won.
That opens it up.
It's such a silly, like, that's what we're doing to prove the argument? Like, God, I'll tell you what. I hope Caleb Williams is good because I don't think I'd be, I think I'm going to quit because I don't know if I could take Eddie calling and rubbing our noses in it. If I might just go sell fabric. You guys want to join me?
No.
Like, Joanne now?
I, I, I don't think I could live with Eddie. Like,
Carm's going to go work at Michael's.
Yeah. I don't think I could live with Eddie, like, calling every day if Caleb stinks in 3 years, like, gloating.
Hey, boys.
I told you, no USC quarterback has ever. I don't know what that means, that no USC quarterback has ever started a Super Bowl. Like,
I don't know either.
I love it. It's craziness. And they just won't put golf on for us. We have to watch Rex Ryan get interviewed. What's happening? It's madness in the world. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
The real question is, which college does hold the record for the most quarterbacks that have, let's say, won a Super Bowl? Would it, like, is there a, like, Stanford's had Jim Plunkett and John Elway. Was there a third Stanford quarterback that ever won a Super Bowl?
I mean, it's got to be Michigan.
Well, I don't mean how many, because that's too easy, because Brady's, like, how many different quarterbacks, Chris?
Oh, how,
like,
many different quarterbacks,
yeah, how many
have been?
Different quarterbacks. So, like, yeah, because Brady's got seven, so that's a little unfair, but, like, Is he the only Michigan quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl?
I'm going through this right now.
Think. Like,
you know, and
Elway and Plunkett were both from Stanford. They have two. Like,
Notre Dame has three.
Oh, so there you go. Montana. Who else?
Montana, Daryl LaMonica, Joe Theismann.
And Joe Theismann. It's probably Notre Dame. There's three.
Well, there's a lot of guys in here. They rank all 67 quarterbacks in order. You know, end of the line, Rex Grossman.
Florida.
Okay, David Woodley.
I don't even
played
remember.
Played for the Dolphins. Yeah. He was 0-1. He lost.
Yeah.
Tony Eason, University of Illinois.
Illinois for Tony Eason.
Vince Ferragamo.
No clue. I have the answer.
The
most Super Bowl starting quarterbacks.
Oh, like, so which college?
The schools.
Okay, so yes. Hold on. Notre Dame might be it, because, like Yurko just said, you had
BYU's
got Steve Young, but that's only two. Steve Young and Jimmy Mack, right? Only two? Notre Dame's got three that we can think of. Stanford's got two. I don't know if there's a third. What about, like, Alabama?
Alabama,
like, Bart
might
Starr.
Have four or five. Jalen Hurts is on that list, too.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
like, Bama could be the answer.
It could be.
Roll Tide.
Who else, Yurk, from Bama?
Where'd Jake DeLome go to school?
Jake DeLome, I don't know, but it was in Alabama.
Well, there you go. Neil O'Donnell went to Maryland. That's our second Maryland quarterback.
Joe Namath went to Alabama, right, Yurk?
Yeah,
there's at least three I can think of from Bama. Maybe it's Bama.
I don't know where Mark Rippon went, but he went someplace.
I'm going to guess. I think I sense Adam getting ready to pound his chest, too. I'm going to guess Alabama.
I'm guessing Alabama, too.
Is it Bama?
Alabama is second.
Oh, so there's someone more than Alabama. Who? Miami of Florida, Yurk? Like Jim
Kelly? Where'd Joe Flacco go? He went to the
Joe
Blue
Flacco
Hens,
went to Delaware.
Yeah. See, like Billy Kilmer. Where'd Billy Kilmer go?
No clue.
Chris Chandler.
No clue.
Plunkett went to Stanford.
All right, so Bama's second. All right, I'm going to guess Notre Dame then, because we know three that at least won. I'll guess Notre Dame.
Wrong.
Who is it?
Bama? Yeah, who is it?
So Alabama has four quarterbacks that have started a Super Bowl.
Somebody's got more than that. Who is it? It's not Notre Dame.
Cal. Has five.
Aaron Rodgers.
Goff.
Oh, Jared Goff. Duh. Who else? Did Daryl LaMonica?
Vince Ferragamo.
Oh, Vince Ferragamo.
Craig Morton. And Joe Capp.
Well, there you
go. Tough.
I mean, that's
tough.
That's a hell of a trivia question.
I mean, that's three guys.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's three guys even before my time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good one, because Ferragamo and, like, those guys, you're going way back.
Yeah.
Cap and Ferragamo, that you're going way back. That's pretty good. So Cal's one. Alabama's two. Is Notre Dame third, Adam? Do you have the whole list?
I only have the, hold on, let's see. Yeah, Notre Dame is three with Daryl LaMonica, Joe Theismann, and Joe Montana. Purdue and LSU also have three.
Okay.
Purdue has Len Dawson, Bob Greasy, Drew Brees. LSU has David Woodley, Stan Humphries, and Joe Burrow. UCLA, Georgia, Pittsburgh, BYU, Maryland, Penn State, Washington State, Oklahoma, Delaware, Boston College, Florida all have two.
All have two. Nice.
Can you name the two Florida quarterbacks?
Rex Grossman.
Mm-hmm.
And... Oh, boy.
It's pretty easy.
It is easy?
He's kind of famous.
It's pretty easy. A Florida quarterback that started a Super Bowl. Why am I struggling, Yurk?
He technically,
Did he transfer?
Didn't have as much success in Florida as he, yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a trick one.
Kind of a trick question, but you're like, okay, I get it.
Good one. Cam Newton, nice. Nathan's in Geneva. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask, I know C.J. Stroud having the season that he did was kind of an anomaly,
yeah.
But I wanted to know how long you think it'll take Caleb Williams to kind of gear up, especially with his sack problems and our offensive line, to be like a top-tier quarterback in the league.
Excellent question.
I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Thanks, Nathan. Excellent question. You're right about C.J. Stroud. C.J. might already be like fringy top 10, but he's right. That is outlier, anomaly stuff. I don't know that happens very often.
All I know is that the weapons and the people are there to make things happen.
Could by the end of his second year, if everything goes right, Yurko? Like, he progresses. The Bears have surrounded him well. They bring him along the right way. By the end of his second year, could he be a top 10 quarterback?
If it's going to be done, it's going to have to. If the Bears are going to make the playoffs this year, Caleb has to be a part of it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're not going to do it in spite of him.
He's
got to be a part of it.
I totally agree.
So I look for him to. He doesn't have to be as good as C.J. Stroud to be able to get him to the playoffs. So, yeah, I'd say year two, he needs to be as good as C.J. Stroud.
But I think I'm sensing for you, he needs to be close.
Yeah.
He needs to kind of be knocking on that door a little bit. And I think you're right. And he's going to have to help the Bears there. They're not going to do it in spite of him. 312-332-3776 if you want to ring us up. We're back in 2 minutes.